3 years was essential in shutting down a massive identity theft ring. The 3-year social engineering sting operation netted 59 arrests and prevented over $70 million in bank fraud. This is just one example of how social engineering skills can be used for good. The different types of social engineers. As previously discussed, social engineering can take on many forms. It can be malicious, and it can be friendly. It can build up, and it can tear down. Before moving on to the core of this book, take a brief look at the different forms of social engineers, and a very short description of each. Hackers. Software vendors are becoming more skilled at creating software that is hardened or more difficult to break into. As hackers are hitting more hardened software, and as software and network attack vectors, such as remote hacking, are becoming more difficult, hackers are turning to social engineering skills. Often using a blend of hardware and personal skills, hackers are using social engineering in major attacks as well as in minor breaches throughout the world. Penetration testers. Since a real-world penetration tester, also known as a pen tester, is very offensive in nature, this category must follow after hackers. True penetration testers learn and use the skills that the malicious hackers use to truly help ensure a client's security. Penetration testers are people who might have the skills of a malicious black hat, but who never use the information for personal gain or harm the target. Spies. Spies use social engineering as a way of life, often employing every aspect of the social engineering framework, discussed later in this chapter. Spies are experts in this science. Spies from all around the world are taught different methods of fooling victims into believing they are someone or something they're not. In addition to being taught the art of social engineering, many times spies also build on credibility by knowing a little or even a lot about the business or government they are trying to social engineer. Identity thieves. Identity theft is the use of information such as a person's name, bank account numbers, address, birth date, and social security number without the owner's knowledge. This crime can range from putting on a uniform to impersonating someone to much more elaborate scams. Identity thieves employ many aspects of social engineering, and as time passes, they seem more emboldened and indifferent to the suffering they cause. Disgruntled employees. After an employee has become disgruntled, they often enter into an adversarial relationship with their employer. This can often be a one-sided situation because the employee will typically try to hide their level of displeasure to not put their employment at risk. Yet the more disgruntled they become, the easier it becomes to justify the acts of theft, vandalism, or other crimes. Scam artist. Scams or cons appeal to greed or other principles that attract people's beliefs and desires to make a buck. Scam artists or con men master the ability to read people and pick out little cues that make a person a good mark. They also are skillful at creating situations that present as unbeatable opportunities to a mark. Executive recruiters. Recruiters also must master many aspects of social engineering. Having to master elicitation as well as many of the psychological principles of social engineering, they become very adept at not only reading people, but also understanding what motivates people. Many times, a recruiter must take into consideration and please not only the job seeker, but also the job poster. Salespeople. Similar to recruiters, salespeople must master many people skills. Many sales gurus say that a good salesperson does not manipulate people, but uses their skills to find out what people's needs are and then sees whether they can fill it. The art of sales takes many skills such as information gathering, elicitation, influence, psychological principles, as well as many other people skills. Governments. Not often looked at as social engineers, Governments utilize social engineering to control the messages they release, as well as the people they govern. Many governments utilize social proof, authority, and scarcity to make sure their subjects are in control. This type of social engineering is not always negative, because some of the messages governments relay are for the good of the people, and using certain elements of social engineering can make the message more appealing and more widely accepted. Doctors, psychologists, and lawyers. Although the people in these careers might not seem like they fit into the same category as many of these other social engineers, this group employs the same methods used by the other groups in the list. They must use elicitation and proper interview and interrogation tactics, as well as many, if not all, of the psychological principles of social engineering to manipulate their targets or clients into the direction they want them to take. Regardless of the field, it seems that you can find social engineering or an aspect of it. This is why I hold firmly to the belief that social engineering is a science. Set equations exist that enable a person to add up elements of social engineering to lead to the goal. In the example of a con man, think of the equation like this. Pretext plus manipulation plus attachment to greed equal target being socially engineered. In every situation, knowing what elements will work is the hardest part, but then learning how to utilize those elements is where the skill comes in. This was the basis for thought behind developing the social engineering framework. This framework has revolutionized the way social engineering is dissected, as discussed in the next section. The social engineering framework and how to use it. Through experience and research, I have tried to outline the elements that make up a social engineer. Each of these elements defines a part of the equation that equals a whole social engineer. These aspects are not set in stone. As a matter of fact, from its original state until now, the framework has grown. The purpose of the framework is to give enough information for anyone to build on these skills. The framework is not designed to be an all-inclusive resource for all information in each chapter. For example, the portion of Chapter 5 that covers micro-expressions is based on the research of some of the greatest minds in this field and my experience in using that information. By no means is it meant to replace the 50 years of research by such great minds as Dr. Paul Ekman. As you listen through the framework, you will see that by utilizing the many skills within it, you can not only enhance your security practice, but also your mindset about how to remain secure, how to communicate more fully, and how to understand how people think. At first, the framework may appear daunting, but inside this book, you will find an analysis of each topic that will enable you to apply, enhance, and build these skills. Knowledge is power. It is true. In this sense, education is the best defense against most social engineering attacks. Even the ones that knowledge can't protect 100% against, having details of these attacks keeps you alert. Education can help you enhance your own skills, as well as be alert. Along with education, though, you need practice. This book was not designed to be a once-listened-to manual. Instead, it was designed to be a study guide. You can practice and customize each section for your needs. The framework is progressive in the sense that it is the way a social engineering attack is laid out. Each section of the framework discusses the next topic in the order that a social engineer might utilize that skill in their engagement or planning phases. The framework shows how an attack might be outlined. After the attack is planned out, the skills that are needed can be studied, enhanced, and practiced before delivery. Suppose, for example, that you are planning a social engineering audit against a company that wanted to see whether you could gain access to its server room and steal data. Maybe your plan of attack would be to pretend to be a tech support person who needs access to the server room. You would want to gather information, maybe even perform a dumpster dive. Then, Under the pretext of being the tech guy, you could utilize some covert camera tools, as well as practice the proper language and facial vocal cues for how to act, sound, and look like a tech guy. If you locate what company your client uses for tech support, you may need to do info gathering on it. Who does your client normally get to service them? What are the names of the employees with whom they interact? The attack needs to be planned out properly. This book is not just for those who perform audits, though. Many listeners are curious about what the attacks are, not because they are protecting a company, but because they need to protect themselves. Not being aware of the way a malicious social engineer thinks can lead someone down the path toward being hacked. College students in the field of security have also used the framework. The information in the framework outlines a realistic path for these vectors or methods of attack and enables the listener to study them in depth. Generally, this information can also help enhance your ability to communicate in everyday life. Knowing how to read facial expressions or how to use questions to put people at ease and elicit positive responses can enhance your ability to communicate with your family and friends. It can assist you in becoming a good listener and more aware of people's feelings. Being able to read people's body language, facial expressions, and vocal tones can also enhance your ability to be an effective communicator. Understanding how to protect yourself and your loved ones will only make you more valuable and more aware of the world around you. Summary. Like any good book, the knowledge contained herein is only useful if you put it into practice. The more you practice, the more you will succeed at mastering these skills. Previously, I discussed how social engineering is like mastering the art of cooking. By mixing the right ingredients in the right quantity, you can have a meal that is full of flavor and excitement. The first time you try to cook a meal, it might have too much salt, or it might lack flavor altogether. But you don't immediately throw in the towel. You keep trying until you get it right. The same goes for social engineering. Some of the necessary skills may come more naturally to you, and others may be more difficult. If a particular topic is hard to understand or difficult for you to grasp, do not give up, and do not assume you cannot learn it. Anyone can learn to use these skills with the right amount of effort and work. Also, keep in mind that just like a real recipe, many ingredients go into a good social engineering gig. The first ingredient might make more sense after you get down the line a little more. Certain skills, such as the human buffer overflow covered in Chapter 5, will only make sense after you master some of the other skills discussed in this book. Regardless, keep practicing and make sure to do extra research on topics for which you need clarity. Now let's start cooking. Your recipe starts in the next chapter with the first ingredient. Information gathering. Chapter 2. Information gathering. War is 90% information. Napoleon Bonaparte. It has been said that no information is irrelevant. Those words ring true when it comes to this chapter on information gathering. Even the slightest detail can lead to a successful social engineering breach. My good friend and mentor, Matty Aroney, who has been a professional pen tester for more than a decade, tells a story that really drives this point home. He was tasked with gaining access to a company that had an almost non-existent footprint on the web. Because the company offered very few avenues to hack into, gaining this access would prove to be very challenging. Matty began scouring the internet for any details that could lead to a path in. In one of his searches, he found a high-ranking company official who used his corporate email on a forum about stamp collecting and who expressed an interest in stamps from the 1950s. Matty quickly registered a URL, something like www.stampcollection.com. And then found a bunch of old-looking 1950 stamp pictures on Google. Creating a quick website to show his stamp collection, he then crafted an email to the company official. "Dear sir, I saw on www.forum.com that you are interested in stamps from the 1950s. Recently, my grandfather passed away and left me with a stamp collection that I would like to sell. I have a website set up. If you would like to see it, please visit www.stampcollection.com. Thanks, Maddie." Before he sent the email to the target, he wanted to ensure that there would be maximum impact. He took the office number from the forum post and placed a phone call to the man. "Good morning, sir. This is Bob. I saw your posting on forum.com. My grandfather recently passed and left me a bunch of stamps from the 1950s and 60s. I took pictures and made a website. If you're interested, I can send you the link, and you can take a look." The target was very eager to see this collection and readily accepted the email. Maddie sent the man the email and waited for him to click the link. What Maddie did was embed a malicious frame on the website. This frame had code in it that would exploit a vulnerability then known in the popular Internet Explorer browser and give control over the target's computer to Maddie. The wait was not long. As soon as the man received the email, he clicked the link and the company's perimeter was compromised. A tiny piece of information, the corporate email this man used to look for stamps, is what led to this compromise. No piece of information is irrelevant. With that knowledge in mind, here are questions that come up with regard to information gathering. How can you gather information? What sources exist for social engineers to gather information? What can you glean from this information to profile your targets? How can you locate, store, and catalog all this information for the easiest level of use? These are just a few of the questions that you will need to find answers for in order to accomplish proper and effective information gathering. With the plethora of social networking sites out there, people can easily share every aspect of their lives with anyone they choose, making potentially damaging information more readily available than ever before. This chapter focuses on the principles of information gathering by presenting examples of how it can be used in social engineering and the devastating effects some of the information people release on the web can have on their personal and business security. Many of the skills or methods that a social engineer may use come from other fields. One field that is superb at gathering information is sales. Salespeople tend to be very talkative, easygoing, and very good at collecting data about those with whom they interact. I once read a book on sales in which the author encouraged salespeople to gather referrals from the buyer, something along these lines. Can you tell me one person who you think could benefit from this product as much as you will? Using simple wording can get a person to open up and refer family, friends, and maybe even coworkers. Harvesting or gathering this information and then storing it allows the salespeople to have what they call warm leads to call on. A warm lead is where they have a person with an in, a way to get in the door without having to cold call. The salesperson can now call on those referrals and say something like, "I was just at Jane's house two doors down and she bought our premium policy. After reviewing the benefits and paying for the year up front, she said you might benefit from the same coverage. Do you have a minute for me to show you what Jane purchased?" These skills used by salespeople are often mirrored by social engineers. Of course, a social engineer is not asking for referrals, but think about the flow of information in and out of this conversation. The salesperson gathers information from his present client. Then he relays that information in a way that will make the new target more susceptible to listen and let him in. In addition, by dropping hints on what the first customer bought and using words like premium and in advance, the salesperson is preloading the new target with the key words he wants to use on him in just a little while. This technique is effective in that it builds trust, uses familiarity, and allows the target to feel comfortable with the salesperson. or the social engineer, giving their mind a bridge over the gap that would normally exist there. This chapter, as well as the following chapter, will delve deep into these topics. As a social engineer, both angles are of vital importance to understand and then use effectively. To return to the illustration used in Chapter 1 of being a good chef knows all about how to spot good quality products, fresh vegetables, and quality meats. They are knowledgeable about what goes into the recipe, but unless the right quantities are used, the food may be too bland or too strong or not good enough to eat at all. Simply knowing that a recipe calls for salt doesn't make you a chef, but knowing how to mix the right amounts and types of ingredients can help you master the art of cooking. A social engineer needs to master the type and quantity of skills to be used. When that is done, they can become a master social engineer. This chapter helps identify this balance. The first ingredient in any recipe for a social engineer is information. The higher the quality of the information, the more likely you are to achieve success. This chapter begins by discussing how to gather information. Then it moves on to discuss what sources can be used to harvest information. This chapter would not be complete without discussing how to tie it all together and utilize these resources as a social engineer. Gathering information. Gathering information is like building a house. If you try to start with the roof, your house will surely be a failure. A good house will be built using a solid foundation, and from there, it will be built literally from the ground up. As you gather information, you may be overwhelmed with how to organize and then use this data. So starting a file or an information gathering service to gather this data is a good idea. Many tools exist to assist in collecting and then using this data. For penetration tests and social engineering audits, I use a Linux distribution called Backtrack that is specifically designed for this purpose. Backtrack is like most Linux distributions in that it is free and open source. Perhaps its greatest asset is that it contains more than 300 tools designed to assist in security auditing. All of the tools within Backtrack are also open source and free. Especially attractive is the high quality of Backtrack's tools, many of which rival and even surpass tools you would pay an arm and a leg for. Two Backtrack tools that are particularly useful for information gathering and storing are called Dratis and Basket. The following sections take a quick look at each. Using Basket. Basket is similar in functionality to Notepad, but more like Notepad on steroids. It is presently maintained by Kelvy Wong and can be found for free either in Backtrack or at http://basket.kde.org/. The website has full instructions for how to install Basket. Once installed, Basket is easy to use and the interface is not difficult to understand. Once new baskets are added, the sky is the limit. You can copy and paste data, place screenshots in the basket, or even tie in OpenOffice or other types of charts, graphs, and other utilities. Adding a screenshot can be done in a few ways. The easiest is to copy the image, then right mouse click on the new basket and click paste. Notes can be typed or pasted around the images by simply clicking in the basket and starting to type. In a normal security audit, what makes Basket attractive is the way it catalogs data and shows it on the screen. I usually add a different basket for each type of data, such as who is, social media, and so on. After that, I will do some recon using Google Maps or Google Earth to capture some images of the client's building or facility, which I can store in Basket as well. When the audit is complete, being able to pull up and utilize this information quickly is very easy. I try to include as much information as possible because no information is too small to store. The information I include is items from the client's website, whois information, social media sites, images, employee contact info, resumes found, forums, hobbies, and anything else I find linked to the company. When I am done, I simply click on the menu called Basket, then Export, and export the whole basket as an HTML page. This is great for reporting or sharing this data. For a social engineer, collecting data, as will be discussed in detail later, is the crux of every gig. But if you cannot recall and utilize the data quickly, it becomes useless. A tool like Basket makes retaining and utilizing data easy. If you give Basket a try and use it once, you will be hooked. Using Dratus. Although Basket is a great tool if you do a lot of information gathering or if you work on team that needs to collect, store, and utilize data, then a tool that allows for multi-user sharing of this data is important. Enter Dratus. According to the creators of the open source, Dratus, the program, is a self-contained web application that provides a centralized repository of information you have gathered and a means by which to plan for what's to come. Like Basket, Dratus is a free, open source tool that can be found at dratusframework.org. Whether you are using Linux, Windows, or a Mac, Dratus has easy-to-use setup and installation instructions. Once Dratus is installed and set up, you simply browse to the local host and port you assigned, or use the standard 3004. You can do this by opening a browser and typing https://localhost:3004/. Dratus and Basket are just two tools that I have used to collect and store data. The websites for both Dratus and Basket have very nice tutorials on setting up and using these powerful tools. Whatever operating system you use, Mac, Windows, or Linux, there are choices out there for you. What is important is to use a tool that you are comfortable with and that can handle large amounts of data. For that reason, I suggest staying away from things like Notepad in Windows or Smultron or TextEdit in Mac. You want to be able to format and highlight certain areas to make them stand out. In my Dratus server, I have a section for phone scripts. This functionality is handy for transcribing ideas that might work based on the information I gathered. These tools suggest how a social engineer begins to utilize the information he collects. The first stage in utilizing the information you gather is thinking like a social engineer. Thinking like a social engineer. Having a few hundred megabytes of data and pictures is great. But when you start reviewing it, how do you train yourself to review and then think of the data in a way that has maximum impact? Of course, you could just open a browser and type in long-winded random searches that may lead to some form of information, some of which may even be useful. If you are hungry, you probably don't just run to the kitchen and start to throw whatever ingredients you see into a bowl and start digging in. Planning, preparation, and thought all cause the meal to be good. Similar to a real meal, a social engineer needs to plan, prepare, and think about what information he will try to obtain and how he will obtain it. When it comes to this vital step of information gathering, many people will have to change the way they think. You have to approach the world of information in front of you with a different opinion and mindset than what you normally may have. You have to learn to question everything, and when you see a piece of information, learn to think of it as a social engineer would. The way you ask questions of the web or other sources must change. The way you view the answers that come back must also change. Overhearing a conversation, reading what seems like a meaningless forum post, seeing a bag of trash, You should assimilate this information in a different way than you did before. My mentor, Maddie, gets excited when he sees a program crash. Why? Because he is a penetration tester, an exploit writer. A crash is the first step to finding a vulnerability in software. So instead of being irritated at losing data, he gets excited at the crash. A social engineer must approach information in much the same way. When finding a target that utilizes many different social media sites, look for the links between them and the information that can create a whole profile. As an example, one time I rented a car to drive a few states away for business. My companion and I loaded all our luggage in the trunk. As we were entering the car, we noticed a small bag of trash in the back seat. The other person said something like, "Service today just stinks." You figure for what you pay, they would at least clean out the car. True, you would expect that. But I stopped that bag from being just chucked into the nearest can. And I said, "Let me just look at that really quick." As I opened the bag and pushed aside the Taco Bell wrappers, what was lying in plain sight was a shock to me. A half-ripped-up check. I quickly dumped out the bag and found the bank receipt and the other half of the check. The check was written out for a couple thousand dollars, then just ripped up, not into tiny little pieces, but just into four large chunks, then thrown into a small bag with a Taco Bell wrapper. Taping it back together revealed this person's name, company name, address, phone number, bank account number, and bank routing number. Together with the bank receipt, I now had the balance of his account. Thankfully for him, I am not a malicious person, because only a couple of more steps are needed to commit identity theft. This story personifies how people view their valuable information. This guy rented the car before me, and then because he threw the check away, he felt it was gone, disposed of safely. Or so he thought. But this is not an isolated case. In the social-engineer.org archives, you can find a recent story about very valuable things people just threw away or sold for next to nothing at a garage sale. Things like a painting that a museum bought for $1.2 million, 1937 Bugatti Type 57S Atalante with a mere 24,000 miles sold for $3 million. A copy of the Declaration of Independence. If people throw away a painting with a hidden copy of the Declaration of Independence in it, then throwing away bills, medical records, old invoices, or credit card statements probably isn't such a huge deal. How you interact with people in public can have devastating effects. In the following scenario, I was asked to audit a company, and before I could proceed, I needed to gather some data. Take a look at how simple, seemingly meaningless information can lead to a breach. Simply following one of the higher-ups of the target company for a day or two showed me that he stopped for coffee every morning at the same time. Since I was aware of his 7:30 a.m. coffee stop at the local coffee shop, I could plan a meeting. He would sit for 30 to 35 minutes, read the paper, and drink a medium cafe latte. I entered the shop about 3 to 5 minutes after he sits down. I order the same drink as him and sit down next to him in the shop. I look over as he places one section of the paper down and ask whether I can read the paper he is done with. Having already picked up a paper on the way, I knew that page 3 contained an article about a recent murder in the area. After acting as if I had just read it, I say aloud, "Even in these small towns, things are scary nowadays. Do you live around here?" Now at this point, the target can blow me off, or if I played my cards right, my body language, vocal tone, and appearance will put him at ease. He says, "Yeah, I moved in a few years back for a job. I like small towns, but you hear this more and more." I continue, "I'm just traveling through the area. I sell high-end business consulting services to large companies and always enjoy traveling through the smaller towns, but I seem to hear more and more of these stories even in the rural areas." Then, in a very joking tone, I say, You don't happen to be a big wig in a large company that needs some consulting, do you? He laughs it off, and then, as if I just challenged him to prove his worth, says, Well, I am a VP of finance at XYZ Corp, here locally. But I don't handle that department. Hey, look, I'm not trying to sell you something, just enjoy coffee. But if you think I can stop by and leave you some information tomorrow or Wednesday... This is where the story gets interesting, as he says, Well, I would, but I'm heading out for a much-needed vacation on Wednesday. But why don't you mail it to me, and I will call you? And then hands me a card. Going somewhere sunny, I hope. I ask this, knowing that I am probably getting close to my point where I need to cut it off. Taking the wife on a cruise south. I can tell he doesn't want to tell me where, which is fine. So we shake hands and part ways. Now, could he have been blowing me off? Probably, but I have some valuable information. His direct number, when he is leaving for vacation, what type of vacation, that he is local, the name of his company, his title in his company, that he recently relocated. Of course, some of this information I already had from previous information gathering, but I was able to add a substantial amount to it after this meeting. Now, to launch the next part of the attack, I will call his direct line the day after he is supposed to be gone and ask for him, only to be told by his receptionist, Sorry, Mr. Smith is on vacation. Can I take a message? Excellent. The information is verified, and now all I need to do is launch the final phase, which means dressing up in a suit and taking my $9 business cards to his office. I enter, sign in, and tell the receptionist I have an appointment with Mr. Smith at 10 a.m., to which she replies, He is on vacation. Are you sure it is today? Using my practice sessions with micro-expressions, a topic discussed in Chapter 5, I show true surprise. Wait, his cruise was this week? I thought he left next week. Now this statement is vital. Why? I want the appointment to be believable, and I want the receptionist to trust me by proxy. By stating I know about his cruise, this must mean Mr. Smith and I have had intimate conversation. Enough so that I know his itinerary. But my helplessness elicits pity, and right away, the secretary comes to my aid. Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Do you want me to call his assistant? No, I reply. I really wanted to leave some information with him. How about this? I will just leave it with you, and you can give it to him when he gets back. I am terribly embarrassed. Maybe you can avoid telling him I did this? My lips are sealed. Thank you. Look, I'm going to crawl out of here, but before I do, can I just use your bathroom? I know that I normally would not be buzzed in, but I hope the combination of my rapport, my helplessness, and their pity will lead to success. And it does. While in the bathroom, I place an envelope in one stall. On the cover of the envelope, I put a sticker that says, Private. Inside the private envelope is a USB key with a malicious payload on it. I do this in one stall, and also in the hallway by the break room, to increase my chances and hope that the person that finds one of them is curious enough to insert it into their computer. Sure enough, this method seems to always work. The scary thing is that this attack probably wouldn't work if it weren't for a useless little conversation in a coffee shop. The point is not only about how small data can still lead to a breach, but also how you collect this data. The sources that you can use to collect data are important to understand and test until you are proficient with each method and each source of collection. There are many different types of sources for collecting data. A good social engineer must be prepared to spend some time learning the strengths and weaknesses of each, as well as the best way to utilize each source. Thus, the topic of the next section. Sources for information gathering. Many different sources exist for information gathering. The following list cannot possibly cover every source out there, but it does outline the major choices you have. Gathering information from websites. Corporate and/or personal websites can provide a bounty of information. The first thing a good social engineer will often do is gather as much data as he can from the company's or person's website. Spending some quality time with the site can lead to clearly understanding what they do, the products and services they provide, physical locations, job openings, contact numbers, biographies on the executives or board of directors, support forum, email naming conventions, special words or phrases that can help in password profiling. Seeing people's personal websites is also amazing because they will link to almost every intimate detail about their lives, kids, houses, jobs, and more. This information should be cataloged into sections because it will often be something from this list that will be used in the attack. Many times, company employees will be part of the same forums, hobby lists, or social media sites. If you find one employee on LinkedIn or Facebook, chances are that many more are there as well. Trying to gather all the data can really help a social engineer profile the company as well as the employees. Many employees will talk about their job title in their social media outlets. This can help a social engineer to profile how many people may be in a department and how the departments are structured. Search engines. Johnny Long wrote a famous book called Google Hacking for Penetration Testers and really opened up many people's eyes to the amazing amount of information that Google holds. Google forgives but never forgets, and it has been compared to the Oracle. As long as you know how to ask, it can tell you most anything you want to know. Johnny developed a list of what he calls Google dorks, or a string that can be used to search in Google to find out information about a company. For example, if you were to type in site:microsoft.com file:PDF, you would be given a list of every file with the extension of PDF that is on the Microsoft.com domain. Being familiar with search terms that can help you locate files on your target is a very important part of information gathering. I make a habit of searching for file:PDF, file:doc, file:XLS, and file:TXT. It is also a good idea to see if employees actually leave files like DAT, CFG, or other database or configuration files open on their servers to be harvested. Entire books are dedicated to the topic of using Google to find data, but the main thing to remember is learning about Google's operands will help you develop your own. A website like www.googleguide.com/advanced_operators.html has a very nice list of both the operands and how to use them. Google is not the only search engine that reveals amazing information. A researcher named John Matherly created a search engine called Shodan, www.shodanhq.com. Shodan is unique in that it searches the net for servers, routers, specific hardware, and so much more. For example, a search of Microsoft-IIS OS:Windows 2003, reveals the following number of servers running Windows 2003 with Microsoft IIS. United States, 59,140. China, 5,361. Canada, 4,424. United Kingdom, 3,406. Taiwan, 3,027. This search is not target specific, but it does demonstrate one vital lesson. The web contains an amazing wealth of information that needs to be tapped by a social engineer seeking to become proficient at information gathering. Who is reconnaissance? Who is a name for a service and a database. Whois databases contain a wealth of information that in some cases can even contain full contact information of the website administrators. Using a Linux command prompt or using a website like www.whois.net can lead you to surprisingly specific results, like a person's email address, telephone number, or even DNS server, IP address. Whois information can be very helpful in profiling a company and finding out details about their servers. All of this information can be used for further information gathering or to launch social engineering attacks. Public servers. A company's publicly reachable servers are also great sources for what its websites don't say. Fingerprinting a server for its OS, installed applications, and IP information can say a great deal about a company's infrastructure. After you determine the platform and applications in use, you could combine this data with a search on the corporate domain name to find entries on public support forums. IP addresses may tell you whether the servers are hosted locally or with a provider. With DNS records, you can determine server names and functions as well as IPs. In one audit, after searching the web using the tool called MaltEgo, discussed in Chapter 7, I was able to uncover a publicly facing server that housed literally hundreds of documents with key pieces of information about projects, clients, and the creators of those documents. This information was devastating to the company. An important note to keep in mind is that performing a port scan using a tool like NMAP or another scanner to locate open ports, software, and operating systems used on a public server can lead to problems with the law in some areas. For example, in June 2003, an Israeli, Avi Mizrahi, was accused by the Israeli police of the offense of attempting the unauthorized access of computer material. He had port scanned the Mossad website. About 8 months later, he was acquitted of all charges. The judge even ruled that these kinds of attacks should not be discouraged when they are performed in a positive way. In December 1999, Scott Multan was arrested by the FBI and accused of attempted computer trespassing under Georgia's Computer Systems Protection Act and Computer Fraud and Abuse Act of America. At the time, his IT service company had an ongoing contract with the Cherokee County of Georgia to maintain and upgrade the 911 center security. As part of his work, Multan performed several port scans on Cherokee County servers to check their security and eventually port scanned a web server monitored by another IT company. This provoked a lawsuit. Although he was acquitted in 2000, the judge ruled that no damage occurred that would impair the integrity and availability of the network. In 2007 and 2008, England, France, and Germany passed laws that make unlawful the creation, distribution, and possession of materials that allow someone to break any computer law. Port scanners fall under this description. Of course, if you are involved in a paid audit of a company, most of this will be in the contract. But it is important to state that it is up to the social engineer auditor to be aware of the local laws and make sure you are not breaking them. Social media. Many companies have recently embraced social media. It's cheap marketing that touches a large number of potential customers. It's also another stream of information from a company that can provide breadcrumbs of viable information. Companies publish news on events, new products, press releases, and stories that may relate them to current events. Lately, social networks have taken on a mind of their own. When one becomes successful, it seems that a few more pop up that utilize similar technology, with sites like Twitter, Blippi, Please Rob Me, I Can Stalk You, Facebook, LinkedIn, MySpace, and others. You can find information about people's lives and whereabouts in the wide open. Later, this book will discuss this topic in much more depth, and you will see that social networks are amazing sources of information. User sites, blogs, and so on. User sites such as blogs, wikis, and online videos may provide not only information about the target company, but also offer a more personal connection through the user posting the content. A disgruntled employee who's blogging about his company's problems may be susceptible to a sympathetic ear from someone with similar opinions or problems. Either way, users are always posting amazing amounts of data on the web for anyone to see and read. Case in point, take a look at a new site that has popped up. www.icanstalkyou.com. Contrary to its name, it does not encourage people to actually stalk others. This site points to the complete thoughtlessness of many Twitter users. It scrapes the Twitter site and looks for users who are silly enough to post pictures using their smartphones. Many people do not realize that most smartphones embed GPS location data in their photos. When a user posts a picture to the web with this data embedded, it can lead a person right to their location. Displaying location-based information is a scary aspect of social media websites. Not only do they allow you to post pictures of yourself, they also implicitly reveal your location, possibly without your knowledge. Sites like I Can Stalk You underscore the danger of this information. This type of information can give you a very detailed profile of your target. People love to tweet about where they are, what they're doing, and who they are with. Blippi allows a person to connect their bank accounts, and in essence, it will tweet with each purchase, where it was from, and how much it costs. With pictures including embedded location data, and then sites like Facebook, which many use to put personal pictures, stories, and other related info, it's a social engineer's dream. In a short while, a whole profile can be developed with a person's address, job, pictures, hobbies, and more. Another aspect of social media sites that makes them excellent sources of information gathering is the ability to be anonymous. If the target is a recently divorced middle-aged man who loves his Facebook page, you can be a young woman who is looking for a new friend. Many times, while flirting, people divulge valuable pieces of information. Combine the ability to be anyone or anything you want on the web with the fact that most people believe everything they read as gospel fact, and what you have is one of the greatest risks to security. Public reports. Public data may be generated by entities inside and outside the target company. This data can consist of quarterly reports, government reports, analyst reports, earnings posted for publicly traded companies, and so on. As an example of these are Dun & Bradstreet reports or other sales reports that are sold for very little money and contain a lot of details on the target company. Another avenue discussed in more detail later is using background checkers such as those found at www.ussearch.com and www.intellius.com. These sites, along with many others, can offer background check services for as little as $1 for one limited report to a $49 per month fee that lets you run as many checks as you want. You can get much of this information for free using search engines, but some of the detailed financial data and personal information can only be obtained easily and legally through a paid-for service. Perhaps most shocking is that many of these companies may even provide data like a person's social security number to some customers. Using the power of observation. Though not used enough as a social engineering tool, simple observation can tell you much about your target. Does the target's employees use keys, RFID cards, or other methods to enter the building? Is there a designated area for smoking? Are dumpsters locked? And does the building have external cameras? External devices, such as power supplies or air conditioning units, usually reveal who the service company is, and that can allow the social engineer another vector to gain access. These are just a few of the questions that you can get answers for through observation. Taking some time to watch the target, film using a covert camera, and then studying and analyzing the information later can teach you a lot and give your information file a major boost. Going through the garbage. Yes, as hard as it is to imagine enjoying jumping through the trash, it can yield one of the most lucrative payoffs for information gathering. People often throw away invoices, notices, letters, CDs, computers, USB keys, and a plethora of other devices and reports that can truly give amazing amounts of information. As mentioned previously, if people are willing to throw away art that is worth millions, then things they view as trash will often go without a second thought, right into the garbage. Sometimes companies shred documents they deem as too important to just throw out, but they use an inefficient shredder that leaves paper too easy to put back together. Many companies use commercial services that take their shredded documents away for incineration. Some companies even leave the shredding to a third party, which, as you probably guessed, leaves them open to another attack vector. A social engineer who finds out the name of their vendor for this can easily mimic the pickup person and be handed all their documents. Nevertheless, dumpster diving can offer a quick way to find all the information you want. Remember, some key pointers when performing a dumpster dive are: wear good shoes or boots. Nothing will ruin your day faster than jumping in a dumpster and having a nail go through your foot. Make sure your shoes tie on nice and tight, as well as offer protection from sharp objects. Wear dark clothing. This doesn't need much explanation. You probably want to wear clothes you don't mind having to get rid of, and dark clothes avoid being detected. Bring a flashlight. Grab and run. Unless you are in such a secluded area that you have no chance of being caught, grabbing some bags and going elsewhere to rummage through them might be best. Dumpster diving almost always leads to some very useful information. Sometimes a social engineer doesn't even have to dive into dumpsters to find the goods. Already mentioned in Chapter 1, the Canadian CTU, or Counterterrorism Unit, had plans for a new building that outlined its security cameras, fences, and other top-secret items. These blueprints were just thrown away. Yes, just tossed in the trash, not even shredded, and fortunately found by a friendly person. This story is just one of many that show the height of stupidity, as the article stated. But from a social engineer's point of view, trash diving is one of the best information gathering tools out there. Using profiling software. Chapter 7 discusses the tools that make up some of the professional tool sets of social engineers, but this section offers a quick overview. Password profilers, such as Common User Passwords Profiler, CUPP, and Who's Your Daddy, WYD, can help a social engineer profile the potential passwords a company or person may use. How to use these tools is discussed in Chapter 7, but a tool I like, WYD, will scrape a person or company's website and create a password list from the words mentioned on that site. It is not uncommon for people to use words, names, or dates as passwords. These types of software make it easy to create lists to try. Amazing tools such as MaltEgo, see Chapter 7 for more details, made by Paterva, are an information gatherer's dream. MaltEgo allows a social engineer to perform many web-based and passive information gathering searches without having to use any utilities but MaltEgo itself. Then it will store and graph this data on the screen to be used in reporting, exporting, or other purposes. This can really help in developing a profile on a company. Remember, your goal as you collect data is to learn about the target company and the people within the company. Once a social engineer collects enough data, a clear picture will form in their minds as to the best way to manipulate the data from the targets. You want to profile the company as a whole and find out roughly how many employees are part of some club, a hobby, or group. Do they donate to a certain charity? Or do their kids go to the same school? All of this information is very helpful in developing a profile. A clear profile can help the social engineer not just in developing a good pretext, but can also outline what questions to use. What are good or bad days to call or come on site, as well as many other clues that can make this job so much easier. All of the methods discussed so far are mostly physical, very personal methods of information.